The title of the message that I have today is A Season to Press On. A Season to Press On. Please notice the scripture passage, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah 5 and verse 2, please notice what it says. A prophecy hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. When the wise men came searching for Jesus, when they came searching for the King of the Jews, this is the verse that was shared with them by Herod's chief priests and elders. Where Christ would be born? Well, it would be in Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, in that city of David. And so, who would be born there? Well, it would be the Messiah. It would be the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that is exactly what it was. It was God coming to mankind. He approached unto us. And a true celebration of Christmas is a celebration that God came to us. Emmanuel. God with us. Christmas is wonderful, but Christmas is only the beginning of the story. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is not laying in a sweet little manger, a cattle's feeding trough, in the stable out behind an inn. No, today, the Lord Jesus completed the work of redemption for us. Jesus came, yes, and he lived his life on this earth some 33 years. And he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He died as a criminal, but he was not had done no crime. He died for my sin, the Bible tells us. All our iniquities were laid on him. For our sins he died. For our lives he came. And even now, he awaits eagerly the return for his bride. You see, God's calendar is still flipping. The clockwork of God is still ongoing. I want you to go over to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Let's notice verse 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, but when the, would you read this verse with me? Would you read it together? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Wow. When the fullness of the time was come, you see, God has a plan. From the very beginning, you know, if we were to flip over to Genesis chapter 3, we don't need to right now, but if you flip over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, in the very breath of God in judging, in casting out Adam and Eve, and in that very situation, God gave a pronouncement of hope. And he said that there would be the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. Bruise the head. Deliver a death blow to that wicked one. And you know what? On Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus delivered a death blow to the enemy. For he conquered death itself. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. He reigns victorious over sin, death, and hell. And we see as Christmas is just, it's the beginning of the story of redemption. It really is. It's the promised one coming. But the promised one also died for our sins. But oh, he didn't stay dead. Praise God. We don't have a dead Savior. We don't have a dead Lord. We have a risen Savior. He came. He died. He rose. He reigns. And he's coming again, folks. Just like on that first Christmas, when most of the world was bustling around and doing their thing and paying their taxes. You know, the mundane things of life. God was working. God was on the move. Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. God sent his Son right on time, right in the fullness of time. We looked just a little bit about in Sunday school about the star of Bethlehem, the star that was so striking, and we just scratched a little bit of the surface, really. But you know what? God showed those seeking men, those wise men, God showed them something, both, I believe, from his word, from the prophecies of Daniel, and perhaps also of in the book of Numbers, the prophecy of Balaam about a star that would come, a star that would rise out of Jesse, those kind of things. But you know what? God was working, and those men were seeking God, and God showed them something spectacular. But you know, when you think about how God works in the clockwork of the universe, I'm willing to say that God, in his infinite wisdom, knew exactly when Jesus would come. He knew exactly when the star would do a wondrous thing. He knew exactly when the star would come over south of Jerusalem and from Jerusalem appear to be over Bethlehem in a stationary manner. So that when the wise men came out of Herod's court and they turned their heads south in maybe the evening, and there it was. The star which they had seen in the east was now standing in the south from their vantage point. And there it was over Bethlehem. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You see, God was working. But that was in the fullness of time, in the clockwork. God had his purpose and plan. And I'll tell you what, God has a purpose and plan for these last days. Believers down from the disciples of our Lord who witnessed his resurrection, who witnessed his ascension back to heaven, down through the ages, believers have expected and have looked eagerly for the return of their Savior in the clouds. One day he will return. And so, as the title of my message is, A Season to Press On, I believe that we need to press on rejoicing in God's faithfulness. I think that at Christmas, it's a wonderful time to recall how God is faithful. There's so much to rejoice in. I can think of the song Mary sang after she heard about, after she was made aware that she was with child. Luke chapter 1, let's go over here to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, please notice verse 46. Luke 1 verse 46. Mary has heard from the angel that she is with child, and she says, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." She submitted herself to the Lord. And in verse 46, she praises the Lord. Notice it says that, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And then go skip forward to verse 54. "He hath helpen his servant Israel in," next word, "in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Mary says, wow, God is doing what he said. He's remembered his mercy. He's sending the Savior. And Mary rejoiced with great joy. Please notice a little farther in this same chapter, Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, who would go before the Lord Jesus to prepare the way. And Zacharias prophesies these words about God's faithfulness. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Verse 67, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Hey, friends, God has kept his word. You see, we see aspects here as we rejoice in Christmas, as we rejoice that Jesus has come, as we rejoice in this, we remember that he is faithful to his promise. This is what he has said. I think of what God has said, as we would say in the phrase, it's set in stone. I mean, it's not like emails, oops, we lost it. You know, it's not like, thing like this that fades away. Hey, it is set in stone. Jesus said that his word would endure forever. Heaven and earth would pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We have concrete authority, concrete guidance from God. What he has said, his word. Oh, it's so important that we are students of the Bible, that we know what God said, that we know what he expects of us, that we know what he's promised. Because you know what? If we dwell in darkness, if we dwell without the light of the Lord in our journey, if we do not have the lamp of his word to guide our steps, we will stumble. But God has given us his word. And I think of that Christmas as a wonderful testimony that, you know what? God keeps his word. He keeps his word. He promised Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus came, he promised that there would be a seed. A seed that would bless all nations of the world. The seed of Abraham. The Messiah. The Savior. You know, let's go over here to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see what even an unbelieving man said. Matthew chapter 1, or actually chapter 2, if you would. Matthew chapter 2. "The wise men have come looking for the king that is born of the Jews." And that's what they say. That's the words they use. Notice verse 2. "Saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Notice the word change. Notice what Herod demands. He doesn't say, where was the king of the Jews to be born? No, Herod says, where was Christ to be born? Herod knows the importance of this. This is that promised one. This is the Messiah, Christ, Messiah. And that's what Herod says. He gathered the chief priests and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so we see this Messiah, the Messiah, the promised one. So we can rejoice in God's faithfulness to his promise. That's his word. That's concrete. But then I want you to also notice, you know, that God hasn't just given us tablets of stone. He hasn't just made statements. Christmas tells us that God loves us. God hasn't just said some things that he's going to stick to, although he will. But God is a relational person. God is not just a superpower or a course of nature that you can depend on. He is the living God, a person, and that person came to us. When we could not get to where he is, when because of our sin we could not ever have any hope of heaven, God came to us. You see, Christmas reminds us that God is a person. The person of God laid in that manger. The person of God walked this earth. The person of God, veiled in human flesh, raised the dead, healed the sick, and died on the cross for our sins. He is a personal God. So we can rejoice in God's faithfulness, faithfulness to his promise, faithfulness to his people. God is relationally engaged. This is his love. But God is also faithful in his provision. You know what? If God created us, yes. But if God has no obligation to do anything more than that. I mean, he didn't even have to create us, but he did. But you know what? In our sin, we were helpless. But God in his love, actually, even before he created anyone, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. God knew that we would sin, and God already had a purpose in place, a plan in place, that we could be saved. And so today we have the wonderful opportunity to receive the gift God's given. The gift of salvation. Jesus came that we might be saved. He came to save his people from their sin. And so we see the provision of God. The Bible tells us that salvation is not by works that we have done. But the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God's faithfulness in his provision, a supply for our true need, his grace. You know, God's still supplying for our true needs. His grace is abundant. And so this is a season to press on, a season to press on. Let's go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, please notice verse 1. The book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the former treatise, that's the Gospel of Luke, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's skip down over here to verse 8. But ye shall receive power, that's what Jesus said to his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he, that's Jesus, when he had spoken these things, while they, that's the disciples, while they beheld him, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. You see, Christmas is the beginning of what God is doing. God is on the move today, collecting a bride for himself. He is calling people to trust him as their Savior. He's calling. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to show you another passage right at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 6. This was written about 1900 years ago by the Apostle John through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Revelation is the very last book of the Bible, both literally in how our Bible is put together, but also chronologically. It is historically the last stitch of the Holy Bible that was written. Revelation 22, the very last chapter. Please notice verse 6. And he said unto me, this is John recounting what was said to him. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must, read it with me, must shortly be done. 1900 years ago, God said these things they're shortly to be done. Shortly to be done. Notice verse 7. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly. Notice also going forward a couple of verses to verse 12. And behold, Jesus reiterates again, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's local churches, local assemblies just like this. And he says, I have sent my angel that you would proclaim these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says again, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In verse 18, or actually verse 17, in these closing words, the very last words that God spoke to mankind 1900 years ago, these words, God says, you might say a last invitation, and he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come unto me. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come unto me. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I remember in John's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus met with that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman who was a sinner like us all. She had a long history of, we might say, bad decisions, really sinful decisions. And yet, Jesus loved even her. You see, there's no one Jesus doesn't love. He loved a crooked tax collector like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus came to trust Jesus. You see, Jesus is willing to save a Saul of Tarsus who hated Christians, who killed and murdered many of them. But yet, God's love broke through that hard man's heart, called him to repentance, called him to trust Jesus as his Messiah. And Saul of Tarsus was saved. And Saul went on, as Paul then, to serve the Lord and to give his life to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, God wants to save. Christmas is the story of how God came to us, how God loves us, how God desires to save us. Christmas is a time to give gifts, but the greatest gift has already been given. It is Jesus, our Savior. Many have not opened that gift. It sits tucked away. Maybe they have many, many times heard about the gift, but they've never, in faith, torn the paper off and taken it out of the proverbial box and made it theirs and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need the salvation you've provided. Faith is what opens the paper to receive the treasure of eternal life, of salvation. God, more than anything, desires that we would be saved. And so, a season to press on. Let's remember God's faithfulness, and then the next points will be much quicker. Secondly, we can relinquish hindrances to do the will of God. You know what? God is on the move. God is up to something. Jesus is soon to return. He said he's coming quickly 1900 years ago. When he ascended back 2000 years ago, he said, behold, I come quickly. This same Jesus. Yes. Let's lay aside the weights. Notice the scripture of Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so many have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, listen. In an age when it's popular to be a Christian, right? It's popular to be a Christian today. I mean, it's the cool for in most parts of the world, grant you. It's cool. Everybody wants to be a Christian. Oh, yeah, you know. But few want to follow Jesus. Few want to walk in his word. Few want to take up their cross. Let's relinquish hindrances. Can I ask you, as we look towards the close of another year and the dawning of a 2018, if God would give us life, what will your life be characterized by? Living for Jesus? Doing the will of God? You know what? We can be so cumbered about with the things of this life. God says, lay aside every weight. Those are things that aren't sinful of themselves, but they hinder us doing the will of God. What are the weights that God would have you lay aside? You know, a runner in a race, a runner must lay some things aside so that he can run the race effectively. What needs to change in our life? Let's consider, thirdly, to reaffirm our commitment to follow Jesus. Reaffirm our commitment to take up our cross, to follow the Lord Jesus. John 12, verse 26, Jesus spoke these words and he said, if any man serve me, oh, so you want to serve God, Jesus says, then follow me. That's what he says. If any man serve me, let him follow me. This is an imperative. Let him follow me. This isn't a suggestion, this is a command. You want to serve me? Oh, follow me, he says. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. You see, there's that relational fellowship. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see, God wants to take us this year. God wants to take us closer to himself. God wants to take us deeper in his love. And God wants to take us higher. So where is it that you will go? In light of the backdrop of Christmas, God was on the move 2,000 years ago, and he's still on the move today. God is working. Maybe you find yourself today in need of that invitation where Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the water of life freely. That woman at the well received the water of life from Jesus. She got saved. Her life changed. She was cleansed of her sin. And you know what? She's in heaven today. All because of Jesus. It didn't matter that she had had five husbands and the person she was now living with was not her husband. It didn't matter her sin. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Jesus can save. Will we live for him? You know, it's the greatest privilege of us to live for Jesus. Wise men still seek him. We can rejoice. God is faithful. We can relinquish hindrances to do the will of God, and we can reaffirm commitment because it will be worth it all. I believe this is a season in these last days to press on with our Bibles as our light, as the light to our path, with the Holy Spirit to encourage us and lead us. We can press on. Will you be found faithful? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for this season that we can celebrate what you have done and how you have come. But oh, let us remember that this is only the beginning, not the conclusion. You have much more. And we don't live in that time when you came and walked this earth. We didn't get healed of a lame leg or of a great disease when you walked this earth. But we live in this day, in these last days, And Lord, I pray that every heart would be open to the Word of God, to the gift of salvation. And Lord, if today there's anyone who would need to open that gift, to in faith receive and claim the Lord Jesus and His work on the cross to pay for their sin, Lord, I pray that today might be that day they call on Jesus to save them. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be faithful to You. When the Lord returns, will He find faith on the earth? Help us to be faithful in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.